All right, we're sitting here with Troy Kokel. He's a member of Scarlet Butler. He's a songwriter, he's a producer, and also a solo artist. Now, as a Métis artist, Troy, how important is National Indigenous People Day, and what does this day mean to you?
You know, for me, I think the biggest thing about this day is really, I mean, part of it is reflecting on my own culture and my own, you know, learning about the culture as I move forward in my life. When I was young, my mom sheltered me from our family, not out of cruelty, but because we had a lot of substance abuse and a lot of troubled times. And so my mom was actively trying to protect me from, you know, some of the bad stuff. And in doing that, inadvertently, she protected me from some of the good stuff. And we were talking before that, and when I was touring with Shane Yellowbird back in 07, 08, we went to the Aboriginal People's Choice Awards in Winnipeg. And the first thing that hit me when I sort of got immersed in this community was, first of all, how big it was. Secondly, was that everybody there was incredibly positive and supportive and amazing. And it really kind of turned my whole perspective on my past on its head. Since then, I've been sort of had a mind of trying to turn that around. And being an Indigenous artist and getting involved in the Indigenous community has been really important to me in, you know, selfishly to learn and to understand the culture. And I think the other side of it is really just, for me, is sharing this my own personal story. And I always felt that I was kind of on the outside. You know, I wasn't ingrained in the community. I grew up in a city, sheltered from my Indigenous community, and I always kind of felt like I was the weirdo in the group. And I've learned over time that it's like I'm not the only one that's gone through that, where I wasn't exposed to my culture, and now I'm kind of going back and learning. And that's been a real wonderful thing. So for me, Indigenous People's Day is a lot about that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, there is a lot of healing happening in our communities, and that is a story that a lot of people go through. You know, their parents didn't necessarily want them to be around the dysfunction that is involved in our community, yeah. But like you said, unfortunately, it kind of keeps us away from that thing. Now, you said you worked with Shane Yellowbird. Your wife, Joni Delorier, and yourself wrote the song Pickup Truck for you. How did that song change your career?
I mean, it changed it completely on its head, and to be honest, when we wrote it, we kind of wrote it in 1 week, and we met a brand new fellow from a brand new label. He had a brand new artist, Shane Yellowbird, and we were chatting about the song, and they were promoting Shane in Toronto, and the next week a song got pulled off of the record. The record was finished. Over the weekend, they found out, oh, we're missing a song. So they literally called us and said, hey, you said you wrote a song. Send it to us. Mm-hmm. I think they were desperate. So I sent them this terrible work tape of me singing this song. And they called up like immediately after and said, oh, we played it for CMT and for the CCMAs. And everybody loved it. And we didn't know what any of that meant.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay, you played it for some acronyms. Cool. And time went by and after about a year, they said, we're going to cut it. And so we're like, okay, cool. And if I'm being really honest, the whole time that his star was rising and as the song started doing better on radio, we really had no frame of context to understand. Someone said, your song debuted at number 37 in the charts. And we're like, okay.
Awesome.
I'm going back to work. I mean, I had no real understanding of, like, does that mean anything? Like, who cares? Like, I don't, not like someone mailed me a check or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, as time's gone on, you know, a year or two after, it's like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this songwriting thing. So it's always been very anticlimactic. You know, when I look back, everything we've done has been really backwards. We didn't pay our dues. We kind of came at it, you know, sort of like realizing it's like, oh, we have to, you know, we have to be publishers now, or we're songwriters now. Over time, it's changed our lives, where I'm at a point now where I'm not working at the city anymore. I'm doing you know, music production and songwriting full time, but it's always been sort of a surprise, you know, a wonderful surprise. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, it changed our lives much for the better. And I think it hasn't been so much about the, you know, the money or the, you know, the awards or whatever it was. I think probably the best thing has been being able to reintroduce ourselves to the community, but then also to be able to do something that's joyful and be able to meet people that are, you know, doing something creative and positive with their lives. So that's been, I think, the greatest gift of it all.
Well, I know that there's a lot of people out there that really relate to that song and they really love that song. So thank you for writing it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Well, you're not only, you know, a recording artist, you're a successful songwriter, like we were just talking about, and you produce other artists. So what kind of projects are you currently working on? And do you have new Scarlett Butler music coming up soon?
Yeah. Scarlett Butler, when we started the project a couple of years ago, it was a pandemic project. And because I produce and mix and master, I said to my wife, Joni DeLaurier, I said, why don't we release a song and see what happens? And so it ballooned into us recording with CBC Heartland's Amber Marshall and Aaron Goodwin and Michelle Wright. And we had this top 50, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, okay, maybe we should like actually do this thing. So it kind of, again, was sort of a surprise for us. And we morphed into that. And so now we're actually working on material and deciding, like, what does this band sound like? You know, it's been really kind of a surprising, awesome thing. So, yes, definitely expecting music for Scarlett Butler coming up soon. We've been writing, like, as we speak for it. And then, I've been working with Jerry Serretta, who we're so grateful that CFWE and CJWE supports his music. And we've been working with Jerry for the last 4 years, and he's just been a wonderful partner, music partner to work with. And then, of course, we've got Haley Jensen that we've been working with in Australia. We had a number one record year before last, and so she's got a new single out now, and it's been doing really great. So we're just, we're just lucky. We're living the dream, so we are full of gratitude for that.
I know music production takes up most of your days, because I saw a picture recently on Facebook where you and Joni were in your pajamas working. So, I mean, that is the benefit.
Yeah, we don't even have time to put clothes on.
Yeah, you work like, so hard that you just stay in your pajamas.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that I was just too lazy to put pants on. But, you know, that's the one cool thing about having a creative exploit with your partner, is that the greatest thing has been, Joni and I can experience all of this together. I'm not leaving her behind, or she's not at home wondering what's going on. I was telling you before, we've got a tour planned coming up in October, that three provinces, with Don Amaro and Beatrice Love from Edmonton from Canada's Got Talent. And we're going to be doing that in the fall. Joni and I get to do that together. So it's just been really great way to spend our music days.
And Troy, you recently released a new song, Dying to Be Beautiful. It was a collaboration. Can you tell us a little bit about the artist that you collaborated with and how the song came together?
Yeah, so I wrote this tune a while back with Tennille Towns. I had this idea for Dying to Be Beautiful, and the idea behind it came from a relationship or friendship that I have with someone that was really kind of, suffering from in the music business. It's a very image oriented business, and she was suffering. And so I came up with this sort of a verse chorus and brought it to Tennille, and we finished the song, and it just sort of sat there. And the few times I played it, people would say, man, you got to do something with that song. So Trinity Bradshaw was in Calgary at the time, about 3 or 4 years ago. I said, hey, come do the song with me. And she came to the studio and we recorded her tracks. And then, of course, she ended up, getting married and moved to the PEI, and then the pandemic happened, and the song sort of just floated out into space, and the messages were coming back to me to release this song. And so we finally finished it up. I was gobsmacked at how good Trinity was. Like, her vocals are just, I edit vocals as a producer, engineer. I'm editing vocals all the time, and she was just absolutely off the hook. And so I was just tickled pink to release this with her and, get the message out there. And thanks to you guys, people can actually hear it, which is amazing.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Troy. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Trent.